From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of August, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will be here to take up the cash grain market, and we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're located up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing Building in Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, we'll hear from Emerson Nafziger about the condition of the corn crop and how the heat stress from July may have impacted the potential yield by the time we get to the harvest season this fall. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. Nearby September wheat down 22.5 cents at $6.56.5 a bushel for the soft red. December at $6.94.75, down 28.25. And next year's July at $7.58.75, 26 cents lower. Hard red July in Kansas City traded down 26.5 cents at the end of the day at $7.95.25. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, September futures $6.75.25. Down 17.75. December at 686, 17 cents lower. The March at 699.5, down 16.5. And the May corn at $7.05, down 16 cents. July at 708.25, down 15.75. December 623, 19 cents lower. August soybean futures at $13.09.25, down 22.25. September at $13.04.5, 23.5 lower. And November soybeans at $13.11.5, down 24.5. January 13.22.75, finished 24.5 cents lower. The March at $13.29.5, down 24.5. And the November beans at $12.90, down 23 cents. Bean meal at $3.40.10, down 5.10. Bean oil at $53.82, $1.08 lower. Live cattle futures finished the August at $114.10, 2.5 cents lower. The October at $117.60, down a dollar. August feeders at $132.57.5, $1.12.5 lower. September futures at $133.65, down 132.5. And August lean hogs unchanged at $104.92.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil, $6.35 a barrel lower at $80.51. Ethanol at $2.66.5, down 7 cents. The natural gas at $3.94.9, 8 tenths of a cent higher. September heating oil at $2.78.7, down 15 and a 7 tenths of a cent. And the gold futures today, $1,710.20 an ounce, up $61.40. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now 500 points lower at 10,942. The dollar at 74.77 is up 0.17. The CRB at 317.7, down 9.06. And the S&P 500 67 points lower at 1,132 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area for this afternoon. A 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 86 degrees, light southwest winds, and then tonight a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 67. Tuesday, chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. Through 1 o'clock, that at 30%, then partly sunny, a high near 84 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 60. Wednesday should show us sunny skies, a high of 79. Wednesday night, cloudy, and a low of 59. Thursday, mostly sunny, the high near 80 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 61. By the time we get to Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms will return, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 84. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 67. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, is on the phone line with us to take up the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I bet it was a fun day from the very start of the opening bells, well, last night all the way through today. What'd you see?
I don't know if it was called a fun day or not, but last night we were only down 1-2 at times in corn, and we didn't go that badly, but today we opened and made the lows fairly early. We were 5-6 off of them in corn at the end. In beans, we were only 2-3 off, and in wheat, same way, only, well, we were about 6-10 off on wheat. But the outside markets totally pushed us down and held us. I think the idea that from your conversation with Darrell Good that we'd have 150 bushel corn yield still hasn't hit anybody in Chicago. I think they're still thinking USDA will be at 157 or 158. And from the continuation of farmers that come in and telling us about yield checks at 75 to 140, I would tend to agree with you guys or even go lower, but I don't know how long it'll be before Chicago understands that.
We'll find out Thursday what they do know and USDA understands about the marketplace when they release their numbers. Were you impressed Friday with the settlement prices from the CME group and then through continuation just to be down 17 cents in the corn and 22 in the soybeans? Was that a pretty good showing despite what's happening in New York?
Yeah, I think if you didn't have New York and all that financial mess going on, I think you could have easily been down 30 or the limit on these things with all that mess. And we held in, especially Friday came back and actually closed higher on the corn. And then today had chances to be a lot lower and came right back every time. And so, yeah, I think I'm impressed that we didn't go as far. If you look at last time when we hit highs, we dropped a bigger percentage and a more numbers from this in 2 to 3 days than we did in the last 3 days here.
Tell me about rainfall events, what you think is being called for in the forecast and what difference, if any, it might make.
I don't think it makes much difference on corn. It might make a little where they've had good moisture, but where you've had a half inch since the 1st of July, I don't know that rain now is going to help corn. It will help beans. Again, we had enough to wet the sidewalk here today, but I have lots of people around that have not had a half inch total since the 1st of July, and they're looking at 75 to 120 bushel corn yields.
I'm looking at the 24-hour, I think it's the last 24 hours, we've had a quarter of an inch here at the site, here on campus, right here at the radio station. Most of that probably came in the last 4 hours, is my guess, but I think there might have been a little bit overnight, too. So there is a little rainfall out there. There's more rain in the forecast. Has it been putting any pressure on the marketplace?
I think just the forecast of rain coming helps put a little on it, but I think in reality, unless you've got good corn crop going right now, more rain on a burnt-up corn crop isn't going to make the crop bigger, and it might help it from getting smaller.
So are you suggesting to producers that they do anything, or do they need to stand aside until they get a better idea of what kind of size crop they have?
I think we need to stand aside and wait, and I think once the size crop is seen, but what we're seeing is that they'll have a better chance to sell anyway.
Okay, thank you so much, Pete.
Thank you, Todd.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. Do visit us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Well, last week on Friday morning, Emerson Nafziger, University of Illinois Extension agronomist, dropped by my Mumford Hall studio here on campus to discuss the condition of the corn crop in the eastern and central parts of Illinois. At that point, it was parched and had not had liquid or precipitation or rainfall for about 6 weeks.
We've tried to maintain our optimism, saying that the crop was obviously pulling water from lower layers in the soil, and I think it's done about as much of that as it can do in these areas that haven't had rainfall. I think our root system is in pretty good shape in general, but once the crop has extracted more water than in its raining over a six-week period, as ours has done here in the eastern part of the state, it reaches a point where it's just not going to compete for that soil water anymore. Even though our humidity has dropped just a little bit as this front has come through now, I'm starting to see in the fields more and more indication that the crop is simply kind of giving it up. In other words, leaves curling, just an unhealthy-looking canopy over the top now in some cases. And as long as we continue without some water, even if our temperatures are a little bit more moderate, that's not going to help a great deal. When the crop can't take up water and lose it through its leaves, then it can't do photosynthesis either. And so that's what we're seeing here. This is going to be played out in two ways. One is going to be a reduced kernel number, and we're already getting some reports of that reduction. Nosing back is the term that a lot of people use, finding a lot of cob at the end of the kernel rows. Normally, we get kind of alarmed when we see that because it means that kernel numbers have dropped from what they could have been. Now, under normal circumstances, not all of the kernels on the length of the ear actually pollinate and turn into developing kernels. The important thing is always to look at how many kernels there are there before we worry about how many aren't there. And kernels, ears should have 500 to 600 kernels on them. At higher populations, of course, we can have fewer kernels and still get full yield potential. But if we multiply the thousands of ears per acre or the number of ears in a thousandth of an acre, which is the way most of us do that, times the number of kernels per ear, we should be getting a number somewhere in the 15,000 range, 15,000 to 18,000. Generally, that's a really good place to be. We divide that then by the number of kernels we expect to have in a bushel, and that's where our yield estimates come from. So the federal government's yield estimate that will be released next week is based on them taking lots of counts like that. And I expect that we're going to be disappointed, at least in many fields, by relatively low kernel numbers per ear. I haven't pulled a lot of those, but those that I've looked at are certainly coming in that 300, 350, 400, maybe 450 range. I'm sure there are fields where it's much better than that, but we can't generally make up very much the loss of kernels. In other words, kernels can get a little bit larger if we'd suddenly have ideal conditions. And make up some for the loss of kernel number. But yield differences year to year, field to field, often are pretty closely related to kernel numbers. And so if we're going to slip down to 50 or 100 fewer kernels than we'd normally have, we're not going to make that up with additional size. And the other way that we will lose yield is by not having enough canopy to fill the kernels very well that are there. Now, we're 3 to 4 weeks past pollination in most of these fields, and we've had high temperatures, so growing degree days is keeping us moving quickly. We're on pace to bring the crop to its natural end by early September in many of these fields, just because of the high growing degree day accumulations we've had in the last 6 weeks or so. That comes after somewhat late planting, and so if we're going to make up growing degree days after a late planting, we'd certainly rather not do it in July like we did this year. That's already our highest GDD accumulation month, and if we're going above average on growing degree day accumulations in July, we have a crop that's struggling to some extent, in part because that higher growing degree day accumulation in July comes from higher night temperatures, not higher daytime temperatures necessarily. Our cutoff of 86 degrees means that if the temperature is 90, the growing degree day accumulation is the same as if it's 86 and the same as if it's 95. So just getting hotter during the day doesn't increase the GDDs, but staying warm at night certainly does. We think that the physiological effect of that, of warm nights, has been seen now mostly in kernel number. In other words, lack of sugars, even a slight lack of sugars during the pollination and what I guess we could call the kernel fixing period, which is 2 to 3 weeks after pollination, at which time our kernels that are fertilized start to develop into real kernels and don't abort. I think that's going to be our problem with the high night temperatures, and it's probably a subtle thing. The one thing I've been hearing, even in the areas that have had better water conditions in the last month, that kernel numbers are not as high as we would like them to be. And so this raises concerns all over the place and says that, you know, if we had good water and pretty good moisture, if we had good moisture conditions and a good canopy color and so on, about the only thing we can lay low kernel numbers to is those high night temperatures. We really haven't had pests and diseases that we would expect to have limited kernel number. So I think it's going to be put to the warm nights, at least to a large extent.
Has there been any work, for instance, out of Nebraska or potentially out of Texas, where they do a lot more irrigation on this idea that these very warm nighttime temperatures, even under irrigated conditions, would simulate, relatively speaking, the moisture levels that we've had in a lot of the growing season across much of the western Corn Belt, does actually show exactly what you've talked about, which is even if we've got enough water, the hot temperatures will cause the fewer kernels to be set.
Well, typically in the drier areas, in the western Corn Belt, where they do irrigate, they tend to get high yields there. But I think that I don't know if they've done research or just looked at yields over years with different low temperature, night temperatures. But we even see that here, that our highest yields tend to come with below normal temperatures in the July and August especially. And that was certainly true in 2004 and in 2008, 2009, where we never saw these periods of high temperatures like we saw this year. And there wasn't very much relief this year. You know, it's sort of a cumulative thing. Every day that we had less than normal sugars retained by the plant, in other words, at high night temperatures, they tend to respire some of that energy away. Then I think we're going to see the effect of that. The concern about canopy health at this point, I wrote this week about loss of lower leaves, and we're certainly seeing that in some fields. I think it's going to be one of those years when people, when they get out and start counting kernels and so on, there's likely to be more surprises on the negative side than there are on the positive side. we've all been sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop, I guess, and I'm afraid it has dropped, and we're just going to discover that. I don't want to be all gloom and doom about it. Some parts of the state are better watered, and I think we have good yield potentials. I seriously doubt we're going to hear some of the high yield records that we've had in someplace in Illinois in recent years. And statewide averages, I wouldn't guess at those at this point, but we were, I guess we can hope that they're better than last year, but I'm not sure that I'd bank a lot on that.
That's University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger. I talked to him last Friday morning.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the closing market report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Lisa Jones of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County is on the phone line with us today. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good. How are you, Todd?
I'm very well. Did
Good.
You have much in the way of a rainfall there at the...
We had 2 tenths here at the facility. It took about 12 minutes and it was over. So we're hoping we can get another shot later on, but at this point, I think we're just at the point where we'll take what we can get.
Take what you can get, mm-hmm. maybe another shot today, and maybe another shot later in the week if you
yep.
get lucky. We'll talk to the weather guys about that in a bit. How's the cash grain market been holding up under the outside pressure that's been coming from New York and Washington, D.C., and other places?
I mean, I think we saw today what the board did, just reflecting what the outside markets are doing, but in terms of a cash basis, our basis sold off the end of last week. We're currently 30 over for corn here in Champaign. And I think that will remain strong as we continue to figure out how much new crop we're actually going to have. I know us and other elevators in the countryside, just given the inverse that we have, are going to go into this new crop year about as empty as possible. So you're going to look for elevators across, I think, the state of Illinois and even into Indiana and Ohio, just try to bid up to get that facility full.
Your fall bid is 30 over, is that right?
Our current bid for August.
Your spot bid is?
Yep, fall we're 12 under the December, and I think you'll see that continue to improve.
Okay. Do you expect there will be quick ships by the time we get to late August, early September?
I think we will, just kind of depending on what harvest brings us. I mean, we've heard guys going anywhere as early as the last half of August. They'll go in and take some crops out anywhere till, you know, guys that are closer to that Paris area will probably be the second week of September. So I think at this point it'll just depend on what rains we can get and how fast this crop dries down.
And there's been much talk that there's been slowdown in demand for the crop, old crop that is. You're at 30 over, but do you still see demand slowing down, or is it lack of grain that's keeping that basis high?
I think for the most part, it's lack of grain. I mean, we've seen some commercial movement, like I said, as guys try to get stuff out and on the rail market. But, I mean, our demand for rail, I mean, most of our stuff will go south and east to the southeast of the United States. I mean, it continues to be not as strong as it might have been 30 to 45 days ago, but we've seen these values reflected. Like I said, 12 under for a fall basis, I think, reflects not only the fact that we continue to have demand, but the fact that this crop will be so much smaller than historical crops.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 705, fall corn, 674, cash beans, 1301, and fall beans, 1286.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is Lisa Jones. She's with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations. Back in 2 minutes with the weather for the rest of you.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.O-R-G. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, posted not long after it airs on our home radio station. That's W-I-L-L-A-M-580. By the way, we are operating at a bit lower power because we're doing some work on the South Towers, and we're now down to a circular pattern, so some of you might be hearing us for the first time. The rest of you might find us a little fuzzy. We'll be doing that for about 6 weeks in total. This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Mark Russo. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Mark.
Hi there, Todd.
Well, it looks like we've got a weather forecast that has cooler temperatures during the day and the night and a little rainfall in it, though I don't know whether it's enough rainfall to really help out very much. Tell me about it.
Yeah, certainly a much different pattern here this week compared to the patterns of late. And as you just stated, Todd, yeah, we see a cooler temperatures filtering into the Midwest, let alone the entire northern U.S. here this week. And along with that will come rain chances here, although those rain opportunities will be primarily confined to the southern half of the Midwest. And that's important here, especially in Illinois, where the item that we're closely watching, as you're very well aware of there in the Champaign-Urbana area, is the dryness, not only there, but across areas of central Illinois. Certainly over the past 30 days, we have seen precip be below normal across that zone, particularly in areas of central Illinois where precip has been less than 25% normal over the past 4 weeks. And while there will be some rainfall opportunities here coming up this week, it does appear that most of the precip will fall south of that zone, more so into south-central Illinois, northern Missouri, and kind of miss out. But certainly when we talk about summer precipitation and thunderstorm activity, there is that chance here of getting some rains. But doesn't look like it's the greatest opportunity here this week, particularly for central Illinois. But that's the focus of attention.
I think I was looking at a Midwestern Regional Climate Center, the drought monitor there, that comes out of UNLV as well. But it showed central Illinois, eastern Illinois, even the beginnings of western Illinois, and then along the Missouri-Iowa border as abnormally low on rainfall in recent weeks. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct here. And you can take that back all the way through the start of July, where we really began to dry things out. And that was a big change from the rainfall that occurred back in June and then during much of the planting window there. So, and then obviously along with that came the much warmer temperatures, and that's what increased the evaporation rates and thus have lowered soil moisture reserves.
It should make for maybe an ugly harvest, I suppose, for corn, but we'll find out more as we head towards the harvest season and how well the hybrids manage to perform under adverse conditions. When you look around the rest of the planet, what do you see in the way of the corn crop, for instance, in China today?
Yeah, China's looks like a good yield potential there. They've really haven't seen any kind of real extreme conditions. While they did have some heat back in early July, it looked like the bulk of corn pollination here has gone off without any kind of major hiccups here or extreme heat waves such as what we've had here in the U.S. So China looks good across the rest of the world. Some dryness issues in portions of Russia, but not. Definitely not a repeat of what happened a year ago there.
Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing Building in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Remember a couple of things this week. On Thursday, the United States Department of Agriculture will release the crop production figures. If you're signed up prior to that time for our Ag e-letter and give us your cell phone number or you manage your e-letter cell phones now, we'll make sure you get a text message from us then. And then a week from this Thursday is Agronomy Day on campus. I'm Todd Gleason.